This is Bob Fetrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1.
Hi, this is Bob Fetrakis bringing you The Other Side of the News. We're doing our yearly wrap-up just a few days before January 1st. And this show in part is brought to you by the Columbus Institute for Contemporary Journalism, the publisher of The Free Press, and also the sponsor of two of my favorite websites since I edit them, columbusfreepress.com and freepress.org. So let's look at the year in review through the pages of the Free Press, and I hope remind ourselves how important it is to have alternative voices, not only here on WCRS, but in print as well. I'm actually going to start with an article that we published a year ago in December 2013, December 12th through the 19th, because I feel people need to read this article. If you can't find the paper, go online. Go online. But this is with, it's called, entitled, New Revelations on the Death of Michael Connell. Page 12 in the Free Press. And what happens in this issue is we go into great detail to show that more than a year ahead of time, Ken Blackwell signed a contract that, and again, Ken Blackwell, you recall, was the former Secretary of State in Ohio who ran for governor in 2006. But Ken Blackwell is the man thought to be a key force behind fixing, that's right, fixing the 2004 election in Ohio for George W. Bush. But we found new documents showing more than 15 months in advance, Ken Blackwell was signing a contract to outsource Ohio's vote count to the Old Pioneer Bank building in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And we published those documents in the Free Press. And we'd already online published previous this, the architectural map, which shows how essentially, and that's in this issue as well, on page 12, the architectural map, shows how a private company, Smart Tech, working with another private company, GovTech, in Ohio, outsourced our votes, and these private partisan companies, directly loyal to the Republican Party, count our computer votes. This obviously could be relevant in 2016 as we lead up to the presidential election. It looks like you've got another Bush running, Jeb, who was instrumental in stealing the election in 2000 there in Florida. You recall he called out the police, the state police, and had them checking for the first time anyone could remember, checking for limousine license, stopping black church buses, vans with black voters going to the polls. So Jeb Bush is running. Whenever there's a Bush in a close election, you usually have massive election irregularities. I wonder why. Oh, that's right. His dad was the former CIA director who rigged elections all around the globe, George Herbert Walker Bush. So I don't know why, as a nation, we would allow a former CIA director who rigged elections and was behind coups all over the planet to be involved directly in politics. He should have been banned. A lot of this stuff stems back to the Bush family. In fact, Mike Connell, who owned GovTech, and Jeff Averbeck, who owned SmartTech, both very hardcore right-to-lifers. And Mike Connell in many ways seemed to be politically owned by the Bush family. He died, of course, in a tragic plane accident. In fact, we wrote this issue in December 12th and 19th because he died on December 19th in the year 2008. It was a five-year retrospective on the man who set up the system that allowed the 2004 election to be stolen in Ohio. Check it out at freepress.org. It's called The Ghost of Rigged Elections Past. It also is at the columbusfreepress.com. So let's start with that and then ring in the beginning of last new year. Our first issue, January 9th issue, and this year look for the Free Press on the newsstands on January 15th. This one came out on January 9th. And leading it off, not only is a look back at 2013, but a very important story. The John Kasich Re-Election Protection Act had been ruled unconstitutional by a federal court here in central Ohio. You recall that John Kasich was being challenged by a Libertarian Party candidate, Charlie Earl, who was, in that case, getting 6% of the vote. And what happened is that the third parties in Ohio, four of them, Constitutional Party, Socialist Party, the Green Party, and the Libertarian Party, which had been the most successful at that point, all ended up being thrown off the ballot because they hadn't got enough votes back in 2012. But this is known as an ex post facto law. Now, that wasn't the law at the time in 2012, but they decided to punish the minor parties, particularly the Libertarian parties, because they were challenging the re-election aspirations of Governor John Kasich. So if you get a chance, check it out at columbusfreepress.com, the John Kasich Re-Election Protection Act, on page 13 of the January 9th Free Press issue. All right. On January 16th, we came out with a issue for Martin Luther King Day. Interesting article on the last temptation in Columbus, literally the last member of the temptations, still alive. But there's also an interesting article in there on Martin Luther King arguing that silence is betrayal and looking at the more progressive, peace-loving Martin Luther King. Everyone promotes the I Have a Dream speech, but the speech, I think, is key to understanding the King legacy is silence is betrayal beyond Vietnam, where he says that the U.S. government, through the U.S. military, is the single largest force for violence in the world, and until we deal with that directly, there will be no justice in the ghettos of the United States. And recall, he was shot 1 year to the day he made that speech at the Riverside Church in New York City. 1 year to the day when he was shot on April 4th. 1968. Silence is betrayal. We're in wars today. Still ceaseless violence in Iraq. They tell us they're winding down the war in Afghanistan. But as a result of our attack on Iraq, that illegal attack on Iraq that occurred in 2003 under George W. Bush, we have violence throughout the Middle East, in Syria, throughout Iraq, the rise of ISIS, and ongoing violence in Afghanistan, and it looks like the Taliban will emerge controlling that situation. All of this looks like the beginning of a new endless series of violence encounters all over the globe, the new Cold War, so to speak, as we wage a war on terror. And not only do we have the new Cold War as a war on terror, we're reviving the old Cold War. If you've wondered why the price of gas is dropping dramatically, worldwide reports that the U.S. is pressuring the Saudis to pump more and more gas to harm and to destroy the Russian economy. Remember, Russia was had the situation in the Ukraine. And much of this, from my perspective, is caused by the expansion of NATO. Putin has pointed this out. As NATO expands farther and farther east, absorbing the countries of the former Warsaw Pact, like Bulgaria and Poland, absorbing former Soviet republics like Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and now in an attempt just prior to the Soviet intervening in the Ukraine, trying to get the Ukraine to join NATO. What we are doing is militarily threatening Russia. We are surrounding them. And when they fight back, we accuse them of being violent. But they have one base outside of the old Soviet Union, one base in Syria, a small naval base. We are estimated, the United States is now estimated to be in 161 nations. That's right, 161 nations. And also, right, we've picked various fights in the Korean Peninsula, and it probably doesn't help that on the one hand, there's a right to free speech, and everyone has a right to see what they want to see, in my opinion, as a civil libertarian. But what can we expect? How would we feel if somebody put out a movie showing our leader assassinated and calling it a comic? The good news, though, is somebody we used to try to assassinate regularly, the Castro brothers, and particularly Fidel Castro, there now seems to be an opening. It seems like the president, in the waning days of the last 2 years of his administration, has been doing some progressive things. So let's give him some credit for that. All right, looking back at 2014, the Free Press started the year as a weekly. We ended it, of course, as a monthly. But the January 23rd issue includes a great article on page 8, Death by Torture, by Abe Bonowitz, which talks about how we kill and administer the death penalty in Ohio, how we get the drugs wrong. So instead of executing somebody swiftly, we torture them. And while there's always a few sick, sadistic individuals who like to torture people to death, the vast majority of people in Ohio do not tolerate that type of execution. And when given a choice between real life in prison and the death penalty, a majority of people in Ohio favor ending the death penalty. Also, the issue of net neutrality and the end of the internet was in this issue, still remains an incredibly important issue in 2015. So if you get a chance, go online, enter the Free Press, and also enter the issue, the question of net neutrality. Again, let's keep the internet open to everyone, regardless of size. That was the internet talking for some reason. we're recording this live, but you may have heard the internet spoke to you there. All right. Thank God for the internet, and I'm glad it's speaking out. And on page 6 in that issue is the article I alluded to as I turn the pages here, written by Jerry Bello. And All of us need to fight for net neutrality in 2015. All right. Another interesting issue last year. And before I get to it, let me just say, this is WCRS, your community voice, 98.3 and 102.1. You're listening to Dr. Bob Fitrakis, yes, that's me, bringing you the other side of the news. Okay. February 20th, Free Press. Ah, the one with the elephant on the cover. One of my favorite colors. Well, covers, not colors, but I think the color there would be green. It has the administration of Governor Kasich telling us that fracking is, of course, safe. Key point, well established now, that fracking not only takes clean water, 3 to 8 million gallons per fracked holes, and turns it into toxic radioactive stew, that this is beyond doubt, that they're sucking up radium-226, 228, the radium, which the daughter gas of is radon, which we all have, at least we should have detectors in our houses in Ohio, this is more deadly. That's what's in this water, is that this water will not be, fracking water will not be accepted in Pennsylvania, will not be accepted in West Virginia. They want to bring it here to Ohio under Governor John Kasich. They want to make Ohio the cesspool of it all. The cesspool of it all in Ohio. Let's say no fracking way. Don't frack my water. Frack off. Back off. No fracking in Ohio in 2015. All right, we need a moratorium on that, but check that out. We found documents coming directly from the Ohio Department of Health, as well as the Ohio EPA. And what did Kasich do? Cover it up and turn it over to the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Why did Kasich do that? Because he knew they wouldn't enforce any of the fracking. These are guys with pistols making sure you tag a deer in the woods. They know nothing. They're incompetent. That's why Kasich picked them to regulate fracking. They're destroying our clean water in Ohio. All right. The February 27th issue. Very important issue. FBI reports targets. Anti-fracking activists are now seen as terrorists, we say on page 6. That's right. The FBI in Pennsylvania, with the Pennsylvania State Police, listed people in Ohio and in areas where they opposed fracking activists, as terrorists. That's right. Two of my clients, Madeline Fitch, and who I represented with my partner, Connie Goodell Newton, and other people I helped out down in Marriott, Ohio. Marietta. Oh, Marietta, sorry there. Producer's right, it's Marietta, Ohio. All of them ended up on list as terrorists. Why? Because they did lawful public acts of civil disobedience trying to stop radioactive contaminated water from coming into Ohio. I'm going to have to pick up the pace here, but let me make some recommendations to you. On the St. Patrick's Day issue of the Free Press, we proved that the police department, we broke the original story as well, but we proved that the police department had a chronic complainers list. If you were a whistleblower, like Kennedy Kent, who was the one most responsible for showing that the schools were tampering with students' records, Kennedy Kent was listed as a chronic complainer, and the police wouldn't take any criminal complaints from her. Why? Because she was right. And because school officials and former school officials like Andy Ginther, one of the persons most responsible, right? He wants to be mayor. What is his biggest claim to fame? He is the man who covered up the scandal when he was on the school board. So he's done very little else except, you know, kiss the butt of the powerful developers in this town. But he was responsible in many ways for the scandal that occurred at the school board. All right, in March, a great cover story on the Immokalee workers asking what's wrong with Wendy's. Ohio's fast food giant refused the Fair Food Agreement, refused to pay a penny more a pound, for the people that pick the tomatoes in destitute conditions in Florida. All right, April, one of my favorite issues, has a tremendous article by Harvey Wasserman called Getting to Solartopia, Beating King Kong to Save Our Earth. You're going to want to, if you haven't read it, go online and read that. Also, we did an article on why the zoo levy was bad, primarily because only the people of Franklin County were going to have to pay for the zoo levy, which was coming up for a vote. Not the people in Delaware County. Not the people where the wilds are. So there's three zoos, but only one group of people pay for it. So read both of those articles, but particularly read Getting to Solartopia by the famous environmentalist and senior Free Press editor, Harvey Wasserman, our own Harvey Wasserman from Bexley. July, I remember we've gone to a monthly now in the Free Press, has an interesting two very important stories. Number one, did the FOP and the city conspire to fire a police whistleblower? On page 8, I wrote that article. Make sure you read it. Soon after that, the safety director resigned, so we didn't really get a chance to ask him why he filed a complaint against a whistleblower at Internal Affairs Bureau and then went on to pass judgment and fire the man. So he's the complainant against the officer. And what did the officer do? Simply talk to somebody in the media. We don't even know what they said. So police are being fired if they talk to the media. Welcome to the one-party system in Columbus, Ohio. Also, the developers and commissioners we exposed in that July issue had declared war on veterans, trying to destroy Vets Memorial. Why? Because of the 12 acres of land they want to give to the developers. So all these years, we've had a vets levy. What are the county commissioners doing? Stealing the vets' land. Read about it in the Free Press, in the July Free Press. And also we had a interesting one you might have looked back called Back to the Caves with Kasichs and the question of Yabba Dabba Don't. It takes a look at Kasich's record in office. So if you look at Kasich very, very closely, you'll find that there's very little there that's progressive. All right, and an issue I'm very proud of. I had the privilege of writing the September 2014 cover story from Ferguson to Columbus. This, I think, could be our best story of the year. Of course, I'm biased because I wrote it with the assistance of the Free Press staff. But let me just read you parts of this article. It shows that Columbus ranked number 2. The statistics we had were from 2012 to 2013 and from 2003 to 2009. It's very hard to get statistics on police shootings. Well, in 2012, the Columbus police ended up shooting more than virtually anyone in the nation. Number 2 beaten only by Las Vegas per capita among major cities. That's right, Columbus, Ohio. For example, in 2012, Columbus police shot more people than the combined states of Delaware, Vermont, North Dakota, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, Connecticut, and Idaho. That's right. Police in Columbus shot more people than combining the states of Delaware, Vermont, North Dakota, Wyoming, Alaska, Montana, Connecticut, and Idaho. And you can say, well, there might not be as many people. That's wrong. There's more people in those combined states. They just don't shoot people as quickly. But what about this? Why don't you compare it to cities, Dr. Fitrakis? Well, let me. The police in Columbus, based on the 2012 statistics, shot more people than the combined, key point, combined police forces of Boston, Buffalo, Denver, Detroit, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Portland, and Seattle. Let's read it again. Columbus police in 2012. Shot more people than the combined cities of Boston, Buffalo, Denver, Detroit, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Portland, and Seattle. What are you going to tell me? That Columbus is rougher than Detroit? Inherently rougher than Pittsburgh? I don't think so. So, in those cities, in Boston, Buffalo, Denver, Detroit, New Orleans, Pittsburgh, Portland, and Seattle, 6 people were killed. In Columbus alone, 8 people were killed in those 2012 statistics. And of course, Columbus does not have a civilian review board, despite the fact that the FOP agreed to one with the NAACP. Who stopped it? The first black mayor of the city, Mayor Coleman. Michael Coleman stopped the civilian review board, refused to let it go forward as an ordinance or as a charter revision. So how do the police get away with shooting people? No one really challenges them. And then if somebody tries to talk to the media, they fire them. The October 2014 issue is also very important. There's a cover story, What's Up with Ohio's Election Night Reporting System, showing that Ohio, and this was later canceled, I think because of the article, had an illegal reporting system where the precinct data would only go to the Secretary of State. Now, the other thing, there's a good article in there by Jerry Bello on the dangers of e-poll books, showing how many of these electronic polling books, they used to be called the voter registration rolls, they used to be on paper, that these are done electronically. And it's really easy to hack them, to do it through wireless, also very easy to write programs that throw voters off the rolls. So we've really got to create open source. There should be no e-voting polls with private, for-profit, partisan companies secretly writing the software. We need to end that practice. The November issue, 10 Ways Kasich Hurts Ohio, with a classic cartoon by John Bailey, shows Kasich whacking the people of Ohio in the Buckeyes. And it really goes over 10 key factors that we ought to consider before the vote on Kasich. Kasich, of course, won that election quite handily due to the ineptness of the Democratic Party and its candidate. Finally, the December issue, and many people have asked me, some have asked me, what's about the cover? Right? That's the insanity clause coming to town. It's by, the cover is by Charles Wintz. I like it. It kind of shows the state of the world. People starving, the question of Ebola. I think it handles it all. And of course, the crazed militarists with all their weapons delivering death and destruction to the world. So, I hope that you keep listening to The Other Side of the News during the new year. This is Bob Fitrakis looking back at the Free Press in 2014. Peace.